Monster Man, Episode 398, Ettercap and Eyewing.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. We got two monsters to look at today, but before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 level or higher, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I talk about the Deities and Demigods supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition, and how to use the gods, heroes, and other mythological beings you'll find in it, and mythology and religion more generally, in your fantasy RPGs. So thank you very much, Jeff Fitzgerald. Your support means a lot to me. All right. First up, we have the Ettercap. Now, we have run into these guys before in the Fiend Folio, and they are not very different here. They are creepy, spider-like humanoid creatures that love to build traps and catch the unwary in them before devouring them. Their name comes from an old English word for spider, which I think is it in The Hobbit or is it in The Lord of the Rings? Someone calls a spider an Ettercap. Or Attercop, which I think just means poison head, but that's completely from memory, so you'd want to check out the previous Ettercap episode. Not too much has changed here. This is actually one of the very rare examples of a Fiend Folio monster, or even a Monster Manual 2 monster, turning up in Monster's Manual without its illustration getting worse, because this has a lovely Tony DiTerlizzi illustration. So actually, the Tony DiTerlizzi illustration is lovely, and the Russ Nicholson illustration from Fiend Folio is lovely as well. So actually, we got two good pictures of the Ettercap. They don't look very similar, necessarily. The spideriness is definitely more kind of emphasized in the DiTerlizzi illustration. Anyway, like I said, big, gross spider guys who love to poison people. I like that they are a bit pragmatic, like they are predators. So if they catch you in their web, their priority is to hit you with the poison, right? They want to get the poison bite on you because even if you then escape from the web, you'll die from the poison. I think that, that adds some nice complications to the fight against them. So a pretty good monster. It has a good illustration. It has kind of really one or one and a half, depending on how you count the using web traps, distinctive gimmicks, so the fights are not just punch-ups, but they're not too overcomplicated. Yeah, it's overall a satisfying entry. I don't have much to say about the Ettercap that I haven't said already, but it's a pretty good one. Next up, we have a real oddball, the Eyewing. These are little flying eye monsters. Well, they're not tiny, they're not actual eye sized. They're I envision them as being sort of Sturge sized, I guess. Basically round, fuzzy balls with one big eye, and then bat wings tipped with sharp claws, and then a lashy barbed tail. They can attack with all three of their appendages if they get close enough to you, which is pretty good considering that those claws are attached to the wings they are using to fly. They're pretty gross. The description really does a good job of conveying how nasty these creatures are. Their eye constantly leaks a vile, stinking fluid. So they're not even crying, they're just kind of oozing this gunge into their fur, which is pretty horrible. And if it, if it wants to attack someone from range, it can bomb people by weeping a giant blue glob out of its eye that splashes poison onto anyone in a 10-foot radius. Then after a while, the liquid will harden into sort of a glob, which is still slightly poisonous if you touch it. The personality of the Eyewing is absolutely horrid. They kill and inflict pain just for enjoyment. It says that if they're not doing anything else, they get really bored. But the thing that makes them not bored is doing murders. So, that's kind of where their priorities lie. They're originally, I think, Dragonlance creatures. They were in the 1989 Dragon Magic supplement, which is a Dragonlance setting supplement, and then they appeared in the Monstrous Manual Dragonlance expansion before being, or the Monstrous Compendium, whichever one it is, Dragonlance expansion, before being collected into this volume. I wonder if they're meant to be a Dragonlance spin on another D&D monster, or whether they're wholly original. They're very odd. They apparently... So there's a bit in this about how they don't need to breathe, and apparently this is because in a Dragonlance scenario in which they appear, the characters fight a bunch of them on the moon. Have I been wrong about Dragonlance all these years? Because I thought it was kind of a corny soap opera-y railroad. You know, I read a couple of the scenarios, and the impression I got was very much that there was this story, and the GM had better not let anything happen where the players might derail the story. To the point that, like, characters die at specified times, is that right? Mind you, that happens in Pendragon, and Pendragon's great, so... But my point is, if it involves fighting poison-weeping, one-eyed, bat-lashy tail monsters on the moon, then that's a bit more of a Gonzo aesthetic than the kind of po-faced high fantasy aesthetic that I mentally associated with Dragonlance. You know, I've been thinking about what to do for this show's next season, because I don't want to go into third edition. Not yet, anyway. I think we'd be facing an era of diminishing returns as we see books that have more and more of the same monsters in them. So I was thinking of doing the expansions for this one. So the Dark Sun one, the Spelljammer, Ravenloft. Should I put Dragonlance on my shopping list? Because, you know, I've always had a pretty negative opinion of it. And, you know, maybe I... Like, this has been the series of episodes where I've been trying to talk myself into liking things that I previously didn't like. And I willingly admit that my dislike of Dragonlance is very poorly informed. Like, I've never read a Dragonlance novel or anything like that. I'm not going to. But maybe I need to take a closer look at this stuff, you know? Maybe I'm not being fair to it. Now, a creature like the Eyewing sits right on the line between being just stupid enough to be fun and being so stupid that it kills the mood. Like, if I signed up, if I decided to whole hog commit to the Dragonlance experience and, you know, have this kind of fantasy soap opera, you know, great deeds being done and dooms being spoken or whatever, and then, like, a flying furball wept a stinking tear onto me that smelled so bad it burned the mucous membranes of my nose, I might feel like there was some kind of aesthetic mismatch here, but I don't know that I feel qualified to comment. I really don't want to start being a guy that cares about Dragonlance. It seems like such a lot of work. But you know, my new fantasy game that I'm starting in the new year is going to involve a lot of, like, weird summoned creatures. One of the gimmicks is that the evil wizard who used to control the land that the characters are moving into was a summoner. That was his shtick. And so when his, like, evil fortress got exploded, all of these malevolent spirits that he had summoned or bound to his service or whatever, they were kind of released. You know, they were catapulted all across the area, and it's sort of that spiritual energy's been seeping out. So weird monstrosities of all kinds. This is kind of like my catch-all explanation for what all these bizarre creatures are doing in the woods, right? Is that this guy's kind of interdimensional menagerie. You know, all the storage banks, like in Ghostbusters, have opened up and been barfing monsters all over the landscape. And you know what? These guys would fit right in. So hey, I got potentially a fun new monster out of this episode, and that's always a good episode when that happens. Okay, that's about all the monsters that I have time for today. In our next episode, well, in the middle of the week, Patreon subscribers at the $2 or higher level will get a new episode of Patron Deities as we continue our journey through the Indian Mythos section. And then at the end of the week, we're going to have another listener request special. And also, there should be another Patreon bonus episode coming up soon, which will be my post-Dragon Meat report. I'm recording this early, so I haven't actually been yet, but I'm looking forward to chatting about it. And if we met there, it was very nice to meet you. Anyway, please join me for all of that coming up this week here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.